The Association of Classical and Christian Schools presents Repairing the Ruins, the 2019 ACCS Annual Conference, copyright 2019. You may make additional copies of this recording for use by your school, but please do not sell any copies of the recording. Learn more about classical Christian education and the ACCS at classicalchristian.org.
Good morning. Let's begin with a word of prayer before we get started. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the beauty and the order of your creation. Thank you for the blessing of this conference. And we just pray that you would bless our time together this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Welcome to the beauty of order in the grammar school classroom. My name is Donna Taylor. This is Sandra Ward. I teach third grade and Sandra teaches second grade at Veritas Academy in Savannah, Georgia. We are very honored to be with you today. We have 26 years of teaching in classical school, so we've learned lots of things, mostly by trial, by trial and error through the years, that we would like to share with you. We call our workshop Organization 101. What we have to share with you is pretty basic. Hopefully our prayer and our hope is that we will share something that you can use in your classrooms when you set them up in the fall. We believe our workshop is for different types of teachers. Sandra is very, very organized. She has everything in its place. She runs a lovely, lovely classroom. I am the teacher who lays down my lesson plan book and then can't find it. So we are on both ends of the spectrum. But we both do love to have a well-ordered classroom, so that's what we would like to share with you today. I do want to share with you a little bit about our school. We are a condensed day school. Our pre-K through sixth grade attend from 8 o'clock till noon. Our 7th through 12th graders attend from 8 o'clock till 1:30. We do offer after-school classes. We offer art, music, and PE. So many of our students stay for lunch and stay for the whole day. But because we are condensed day, we just feel really the pressure of using our time, using every minute of the day wisely so that we can cover all that we want to teach the children through the year. We also are a very low-tech school, which is interesting. We had technical difficulties. We don't use smart boards or iPads in our classrooms. And we also share our school with a church. We are meeting in a church, which may be the situation for many of you. And so when you do that, sometimes you have to be a little more creative with your space and with your displays. So Sandra is going to start us off by sharing about the underlying principles about what we're sharing today.
Good morning. Thank you for being here today. What does it mean to be orderly? Orderly is defined as having a systematic arrangement, neat, marked by or adhering to a system or method, devoid of disruption, peaceful. More importantly, what does God tell us in His Word about being orderly? Just a few examples are 1 Corinthians 14:40, let all things be done decently and in order. 1 Corinthians 14:33. For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. Proverbs 6:6-8. Prepare your work outside, get everything ready for yourself in the field, and after that, build your house. There are numerous stories in the Bible that display God's order. The story of creation describes the order and detail God put into the creation of heaven and earth. Noah is given precise instructions of how to build the ark and what kinds of animals to place in the ark. Moses is given the law, the Ten Commandments, which require order and obedience. The world is a fallen world of chaos and decay, but God did not originally design it to be so. He is a God of order and purpose who designed this earth in perfect harmony and balance. Knowing that God is a God of order and purpose, what a privilege it is that as Christians, we can search and study God's Word and have Him reveal His mysteries to us. As Christians, we can also strive to put order into our surroundings and routines that help us to be efficient and purposeful. The more efficient and purposeful we are, the less stress we have as well, and our classrooms and students will benefit. Our goal is to find comfort in the order and precision found in creation that reflect evidence of a master designer. God has work for us to do and a purpose for us to fulfill. And he also gives us the resources and tools we need to accomplish this work. May we be blessed with the discipline of incorporating order into our daily routines, surroundings, and classrooms.
Well, as you know, getting organized, organizing your classroom begins long before your students step into your classroom that first day of school. So we have chosen three areas on which to focus: the classroom, the teacher, and the student. And because these areas overlap, believe it or not, we had a hard time organizing this information for you today. But hopefully we put it together in a helpful and organized way. We think the first thing to do in getting organized and organizing your classroom is maximizing your space. The first thing you want to do is put your student desks in place. Whether you have you have individual desks, which we do not have at our school, whether you have two-person tables, as you see here, or long tables, it's important when you set up your classroom that there is easy flow around the room, that your students can move and you can move freely around the room. It's important that your students can see you at all times and you can see them at all times, whether you're working with individuals or a small group. Wherever you are in the classroom, you should be able to see your students and they should be able to see you. I'm going to show you some room arrangements that we have in our classroom, in our school, so you can look at those. This is our first grade class. This is our fifth grade class, which was a small room with a large number of students, and so the teacher had to be a little creative with her room arrangement. This is our fourth grade class. And then this is Sandra's class, our second grade class. And you will notice in all of the classrooms, our classrooms, the teacher desk is usually in the back, out of the way. You're not at your desk through the day, so we choose to put that out of the way. It is ideal in a grammar school classroom that all of the students and all of the desks are facing forward, facing the teacher. But because of your classroom situation, sometimes you have to be a little creative and work with other arrangements. Okay. Also, decide where to put your big furniture, such as filing cabinets, bookshelves, all of those large items that you have. You need to decide where to put those first. So once you get your furniture in place, you need to think about where to put some other items. Sandra has a book bag bin. She has her second graders, when they empty their book bags in the morning, they just put them in the bin for the day. In my class, I choose to have my students put their backpacks on the backs of their chairs. In third grade, as we're moving through the day, often they will have to put a book in their backpack to take home for homework. So when we finish a math lesson, I may have them put their math book in the backpack if they need it for homework, and that will minimize their forgetting of materials that they need at home. Okay, calendar. Many of you use a calendar while you're teaching through the day. Put that in an easily accessible location. Maps. Crates. Some of you may use lockers or other storage units. We use crates at our school, and Sandra's going to talk to you about a way to set up your crates.
So in second grade, I like to set up my crates like cubbies that you see here in the picture. And I like to group all of the girls to the left. I put the boys on the right. And in the crates, they store their subject folders, their lunchbox, sweaters, any personal items that they need. And then on the very end, at the right, I always keep a couple of crates for water bottles so that way there's no spill or accident that will ruin the folders.
I choose to line my students' crates around the perimeter of the room in alphabetical order. Our fifth grade teacher puts the student crates at the student table so they can reach down and get things. So you would have to decide if your school utilizes crates, what system works best for you. You also need to think about the displays in your room now that you have your furniture in place and your teacher desk in place and all the different areas. Maybe you have a reading area where the kids go and do silent reading. You have all of that set up in your classroom. Next, you need to think about your displays. In our school, we are not allowed to tape things on the wall, and so we have to be a little creative. And so I have a large whiteboard, and I just hang my timeline and any posters that I use through the day. I put those on the whiteboard, and then I can take those down easily at the end of the week. Sandra's going to talk to you about another way to display information.
Another great way to maximize your space is with the use of trifolds. They're sturdy, portable, and they don't take up much space when storing. Trifolds are also a great way to introduce new units to your class and build excitement with your students. This first example that Donna had shown, that was an example of my classroom rules that I do try to keep somewhere in the room all throughout the year. Here is one of my literature units over tall tales. The solar system, this trifold, actually it was originally a large poster that I just cut into different space objects and laminated those and then put them on a trifold. I use one for math all throughout the year. Poetry, this is another one of my literature units at the end of the year. And then the last one shows one of my history trifolds. I actually teach 7 history units, and I've created a trifold for each of the units. And so we brought a few others up here in case you wanted to take a closer look later.
You can also clip information to your blinds. I had never done this until I went to this school, but it's a great and easy way to display posters, student work, timelines, and it's easy to put them up and easy to take them down. So there's one of just posters and then some student work, more blinds. Okay, now that you have all of your furniture and your displays in place in your classroom and that part of your room is ready for your students, it's time to think about the procedures. In a word, I would say, have a plan for everything. I will say it again, have a plan for everything. We're going to share with you lots of ideas, things that we do in our classroom. You certainly don't have to do what we do, but what I encourage you to do is think of a plan that works for you in your classroom with your grade level. So these are just some procedures that are just ideas for you. Number one, up there we have bathroom. We encourage our students to go to the bathroom first thing in the morning. Some of them have driven a long way. They need to go to the bathroom before the day starts. Snack time, it's a good time to go to the restroom or before you go outside for recess. Lunchtime, great time to go to the bathroom. But we all know that there will be other times when a student needs to go to the restroom. In my classroom, I have the students raise one finger in the air. If a child raises one finger in the air, that means I have to go to the restroom. It's a nonverbal clue. I don't have to stop the classroom for that child. You're in the flow of teaching and somebody raising their hand. You don't have to stop for everybody. And so it's a nonverbal cue, and I give a nonverbal cue in response. I'll give a thumbs up or nod my head or say, you may go to the restroom. So that's one idea for you. Sandra's going to talk about sharpening pencils.
Yes, so sharpening pencils, if you don't have a plan in place for that, you'll notice that you can actually be interrupted a lot during your teaching with students asking that very thing. So I require my students at the beginning of the day during their morning routine when they first arrive, I sharpen 2 of their pencils, and then again at snack time, I will do it again for them. And then they are required to have a handheld sharpener in their pencil box for in-between times.
Yeah, in third grade, I do allow them to sharpen their own pencils, but only at certain times. When they get there in the morning and at snack time, they're allowed to sharpen pencils. Trash, the next thing on our list, trash. Think about where to put your trash can. Think about are you going to let your kids get up at any time and throw their trash away? Are you going to have someone take a trash can around? Just think about that. Tissues. During cold season, lots of drippy students, you may want to put a tissue box on their desk. Now, for the younger kids, Sandra has her students ask permission to get a tissue. In third grade, I allow them to get their own tissues. You have to gauge with your students. If they're abusing the privilege, you may want to change. But just think about that, what to do with my trash and tissues. Sandra's going to talk about helpers.
Yes, so there are several options when utilizing your students as teacher helpers. I use a student of the week, and this student does all of the extra jobs like collecting papers, running errands to the office, sweeping, taking out the trash. I also allow the student of the week to bring a special show and tell on Fridays. But your student helpers can also be used daily, if you prefer that, or you can assign a little job for every student on a rotating schedule.
Okay, we are having a little difficulty with the clicker now. I can't go back to the other slide, but the next point was checking memory work. In our classical schools, our students are always memorizing. They're memorizing poems, they're memorizing scripture, they're memorizing history quotes, all kinds of things, and we need to check for mastery. But sometimes you really need to think about fitting that into your schedule. And Sandra, in second grade, she has her students present their memory work to the class. And she can also teach presentation skills at that time. And so she has them present. In third grade, the passages are a little longer. So I check the students individually. And so that means that you need to have the other students meaningfully engaged while you're checking individual work. I often do it during a math lesson. I don't like to do it while the kids are taking a test. I think it's kind of disruptive when they have to get up and do memory work. So not during a test, but when they're doing individual seat work or something, but plan that into your schedule when to check the memory work. You could have them write memory work on occasion when we do spelling rules. They're memorizing spelling rules. I'll have them write that on the back of their spelling paper. So just plan a time in your day for checking memory work.
Now, there are usually several times throughout the day that your students will need to line up. So in my classroom, I have four tables. I assign each table a number, and then I call on the first table who has put their supplies away and is sitting quietly in listening position. And then I give just a few seconds before I call the next table just to avoid a lot of chaos. And at our school, we always have the girls in the front of the line and the boys are behind them.
Okay, the next area we want to talk about is dispensing materials. You're always passing things out to your children, whether it's math manipulatives in math, homework assignments, letters from the office that need to go home, always passing things out. You can have helpers help you pass things out. You may have a helper who is the materials or pass out person. Our art teacher uses a cart, and everything is organized, and she can just roll that around to the tables. And Sandra and I were looking at this as we were preparing, and we were thinking, this is a great idea. We're always looking for new things to add to our organizational arsenal. So we may both have carts in the fall. But I think it would be great for your math manipulatives, because you're always having to dig those out of your cabinets and so forth, but then you would have them handy and ready and easy to pass out and easy to take up. Okay, next, we want to talk about discipline matters. Of course, if you follow all of our advice and organize your room the way we say, you won't have any discipline problems, which is not true. I am being facetious. But a well-ordered classroom does help minimize discipline issues. I'm sure that your school has a system for discipline. I'm just going to briefly go through what we do. We have a three-check system in our school, and we as teachers have the freedom to implement that as we see fit. This is in my class. I have the popsicle sticks with each one with a child's name on it, and they start out in the green cup every day. And if a child gets a check for that day, they move their stick to the yellow caution cup. They get another check, they move it to the red cup. And then if they get a third check, that is a trip to the headmaster's office. Some people like to use the stoplight, where you have the green, yellow, and red with clothespins and the child's name on it. Some people simply like to write the child's name on the board. If you get a check, write the name on the board and then put checks beside. But whatever you decide to do, just come up with a plan for your discipline system in your school. So now your classroom is organized. You have everything in its place. You have a plan for everything. So now it's time to get yourself organized. Okay, the first thing to think about are your teacher manuals, the books that you're using for the lesson. The key to that, to your lessons running smoothly, are just to have them handy and accessible. Keep your teacher manuals, any books that you're using for a particular lesson, just keep them handy with you, easy to access. Now, some of you, probably many of you, submit lesson plans. We all have weekly lesson plans. Probably submit those electronically, and you maybe even keep those on your computer. But if you choose to do written lesson plans, Sandra has an idea for you.
Now, in this picture, you'll see two master copy pages that I use. I started several years ago making my own teacher plan book. And so I use a label maker and just make labels for every subject, place them where I want them to be on the pages. And then after you've combed and used a combing machine and binded it into a little booklet, then all you have to do is just fill in your lesson details, because everything's already set up for you in the book. Now, this can also be used for a grade book as well, that same idea.
So now you have your weekly lesson plans, but there are always daily lesson plans, those things that you're doing every day. We suggest that you have a box or a basket on your table. This is my basket that I use, and this is what Sandra uses. And in that basket, you should have a folder labeled with every day of the week. And then as you're making copies for that day, maybe you have overheads you're going to use for a particular lesson, anything you're going to use for that lesson, put it in that day's folder. And then on that day, you can pull out your folder and you have everything ready for you. And even if you make you make your copies ahead, you can go on and put those in the correct day. And so it just helps you keep your day, keep your all of your copies in order. I also, on my box, I have a binder that I have all my songs and jingles, everything that we might go through in the day, and I can just pull that out. And some people like to put those on a ring, and they have those. But I put that in my box on my desk, and it's always handy. And I pull that out, and we can go through our songs and jingles easily.
Now, the next three pictures are just some organizational ideas that you might want to use at your school. The first picture shows a list of students in alphabetical order. So at the beginning of the year, I type this list up of all of my students, and then I make about 50 copies, and I just keep those handy in the classroom. This is very helpful for if you're keeping track of when a student has paid for a field trip. If you assign projects and you need to remember who has which topic, you can jot that down. It's helpful for if you need quickly to write in a discipline issue. So really, for so many things, you'll find that you end up using that. You can even use it when you're making notes, assessing your students maybe on reading skills. The next picture, this is what I call the second grade report packet. So if you assign your students reports and projects throughout the year, as I do, it's very helpful to have a packet that contains detailed directions and then also the paper that they'll use for the report. I use a cover sheet that I glue on the front of the packet, and it has the due date clearly for the parents to see. And then this packet just goes back and forth throughout the year as you go through each project. And the last one, the field trip packet. So this is, again, where I use my alphabetical list. I'll staple this to the front of the packet, and I can check off the student as they pay, and then the money just goes into the envelope.
Okay, so you have your materials organized, and there are so many things involved in running a classroom. And so in order to run your classroom effectively and not spend 18 hours a day working on your schoolwork, it is a good thing to learn to manage your time well. And so Sandra's going to talk about being prepared.
Yes, so Donna and I have found over the years that it's very helpful if you leave your classroom set up for the next day. So after dismissal, I try to go back every day to my classroom and get everything together for the next day's lessons. So that would be worksheets, teacher manuals, any math manipulatives that the students might be using. And then I place these items in the room where they're going to be needed. And this is very helpful if you happen to be running late the next morning, or even if you have to call in sick and a sub has to come in for you. Everything then is just laid out and ready to go for the day.
The next thing, I can't go back, I would go back and show you, but the next thing is utilizing teacher aides and parent volunteers. We haven't always had paid aides in our school. We do now, but we haven't always. But sometimes you may have parents who come in and volunteer for you, and just learn to use them in a way that is beneficial to you. Sandra, she has the aides make copies for her. She has them cut out lots of things that they do, lots of projects and activities in second grade. She has them cut out all those things so that that minimizes her preparation time. She also has them do laminating for her. In third grade, I love to have teacher aides. I generally like to grade my own work, but I do have teacher aides grade those timed math facts. When you have 18 students doing 100 math facts three or four times a week, that is a lot of math papers to grade. So that is one thing that I will have teacher aides grade for me. And I also want to talk about all those papers. That's our next point. What to do with all those papers. Your children are constantly working and turning in their work, and you're grading your work. And so you need a system for getting that work back to them. And so I have a folder with each child's name on it. And on Thursdays, I have my stack of graded work, and I have my stack of folders. And my teacher aide will file those folders for me in the appropriate student folder. And so now I have a stack of folders with all of the work in it. So on Friday, I take that work and I put it in this white weekly communicator folder. I have an example up here. This is the most wonderful folder. I had never seen it until we went to this school, but it is basically indestructible. It is made out of some synthetic material. And when I arrived at the school, the lady who handed it to me said, "It can't be destroyed," and I think she's right. I've had students lose them, and they get stained a little bit and bent a little bit, but never destroyed. So on Friday, we put their papers in this folder. They take it home over the weekend, and then they bring the folder back on Monday with a parent's signature. It's a fantastic way to know that your student papers have gotten home with them and the parents have seen them. So we do that, and the folder lasts all year. It's fantastic. Okay. The next thing we want to talk about is your transition times. Sandra talked about this a little bit, but I want to talk some more about what to do during those times when you're lining up, when your children are transitioning between subjects and activities. Well, a few years ago, our headmaster asked us to have the children chant and sing and do their jingles and do those things while during these transition times. And I have to admit, I was sitting there thinking, really? My students can't remember what to get out of their crates. And if they're singing, how will they remember when they go to their crate? I was just thinking that that might not work. But lo and behold, it does. And it has been a great use. When we're getting ready for Latin, I say, go get your Latin book. We'll sing some Latin jingles. Or we're getting our grammar materials out. We'll sing a grammar jingle. So it really is a good way to practice those skills. When you're lining up, often we will do math facts. If you're waiting outside for PE or for music or for art, it's a good way to practice your timeline. But use all of those transition times to practice those skills. Maybe you're working on a poem as a class. You can say your poem. All those times just that you come to the end of the day and you think, oh, I didn't get to do this or that. You can do that during those transition times. It keeps the kids busy and it will eliminate or minimize some of the discipline issues that the children are actively thinking about their songs and jingles and chants during those transition times. Okay, you have your classroom organized. You have yourself organized. Now it's time to get your students organized. First, we're going to talk about student materials. We, at our school, at the beginning of the summer, we provide detailed supply lists for our parents. And so they have a detailed supply list that they need to purchase over the summer and send with their students on the first day of school. So Sandra's going to talk about how she helps keep her students organized.
Okay, for younger grammar school students, we have found that it's easier for them to use folders instead of a binder. So at the beginning of the year, I asked my parents to purchase about 16 inexpensive paper folders. And then I have pre-cut labels that the students can color in. They glue on the front. This is, I think, our next slide. There's an example of my grammar folder. And I have a folder for every subject, so that would be literature, science, history, Latin, all of those. A lot of the subjects have multiple units within the subject, so there's a folder for every unit as well. And pencil boxes. At our school, kindergarten and first grade, they share supplies in community baskets on their tables. But beginning in second grade, the students transition to their own supply box, and they're in charge of keeping it neat and organized. Now, I request that a large pencil box be purchased so that all of their supplies can fit in it, even their rulers. And then, of course, it also contains crayons, markers, colored pencils, regular pencils as well. And this next picture, this is my homework folder. So I do request a sturdy vinyl folder be purchased for their homework folder, so hopefully it will last all year. On the left side, I label this side, "Do Not Remove." And this is where the students keep our hymn of the month, Bible memorization, history memorization, things that we use each morning in class. And on the right side, there's a label for homework. So all of their homework for the day goes on that side, and then they use the right side to return it all the next day.
In third grade, they graduate to the binder system. And in third, fourth, and fifth grade, we use binders to help keep the students organized. I have them bring a 1.5 to 2 inch binder. Some of them like the zippered trapper keepers. Those work well. I have them come the first day of school with dividers labeled with all of the subjects that we have in third grade. They have a memorization section. They have a section for Latin and for grammar and for history and all of our subjects. I do ask them to get pocket dividers. Sometimes you give them papers that may not have holes or it's a booklet, and then they can pop that right into the pocket of the appropriate section. So they come with that. They put their lined paper in there. They put their, we use graph paper for math in third grade. And so they put everything that they need is there in that binder. I will say not all binders are created equal. And so I encourage my parents to check the prongs on the binder before they buy it. Because a third grader, if they come to school and those prongs don't line up exactly, they are not able to use the binder. Every year I have at least one student who has to return the binder. And I do tell my students at the beginning of the year that at least once they will have a binder fail where all of their stuff will go everywhere. And so I just send it home with them and let mom help them put it back together. And that's just part of learning to be organized. And so this is I love the binder system. It just helps the kids keep their items organized. And it's a great way, a tool of teaching, because when I tell them, okay, put this in your history section, and then the next day we go to look for that particular item, and they open up their history section, and it's not there, then they realize that they have not listened or that they have not put it in the right place. So it's a great teaching tool, teaching beginning in third grade to learn organizational skills that they can use for the rest of their lives. So I love the binder. Also in third grade, so we keep the binders on the corner of their desk. They keep that binder on their desk. It's their lifeline at school every day. So we are in and out of the binder all day long. I also in third grade have them keep a pencil box, not as large as second grade. They have a pencil box that they keep in their crate that has extra supplies, crayons, other things they need. I also have them keep a smaller pencil pouch on their desk. And I just did this a few years ago. It just seemed to work more because we got narrower desks. We used to have wide desks. But then when we got narrower tables, it just didn't work to have the pencil box and the binder. It just wasn't enough room. So I asked them to bring a smaller pouch. And in that pouch, they keep a couple of pencils, a red checking pen, an Expo marker, which we often use. All of those things they keep on a pouch on their desk. Okay, I also have my students use a homework folder. We have one side that is the keep at home side, and one side is the bring back side, and we label that the first day of school. And then the first really couple of weeks of school, every time I give them a paper, if I give them something from the office, we say, where does it go? Bring back side, keep at home side. We do that with every paper for several days. I do that until I'm comfortable that they know where each item goes. And so, and that goes back and forth. And the vinyl folders really do last all year long. Okay, now Sandra is going to talk to you about helping keep your students keep their areas neat.
So it's important at the beginning of the year to teach your students exactly what they should have ready for the day every morning. And so for me in second grade, this includes two pencils, a red pen, a large eraser, and they also have to have their Latin and homework folders. Then as the subjects vary throughout the day, they'll go to their crate and get the folder for that particular subject. In the background, you'll see the crates again. I also teach my students how to keep their crates neat and organized. So at the beginning of the year, I show them how to put all of the folders with the binding facing outward, and then their lunchbox and sweater goes on top of the folders. I do try to save a little time at the end of every week for the students to reorganize their crates and neaten up their pencil boxes as well.
That would also go, I used to teach where I had individual desks, and you want to keep your, teach your children exactly how to organize the inside of their desks and clean those out regularly. We all know the student who stuffs every paper that they've had from the beginning of the year, and in May you have 5,000 sheets of paper in their desk, so it's good to make sure that they keep things inside the desk neat and organized and that they clean those out periodically. Okay, so your student materials are organized and ready to go. Now we are going to talk about the routines that you need to teach your students to help them function in your classroom. The key word is practice. Practice, practice, practice. Your students should know exactly what to do when they walk in your classroom every day. So it takes a good bit of time at the beginning of the year to teach them exactly what you want them to do when they walk in. When my students walk in, the first thing I want them to do is turn in their homework. I don't even really like for them to take their coats off, but there's something between taking their coat off and thinking I need to turn my homework in, and then they forget. So the first thing I want them to do is turn in their homework. So I have them unzip their backpacks, take out their homework folder, take their homework out of their homework folder, and go to the box. I have a box that has all the subjects labeled, and so they will put it in the appropriate slot. We are always learning things as teachers, and it took me a long time to learn this. But at first, I would just tell them, turn in your homework. So they would bring their homework folders up to the box, stand there, and try to shuffle through, find their homework, papers falling out, dropping the folder, and then you have a line of students trying to hone up their work. So finally, I thought, okay, there must be a better way. So now I say, take your homework out of your folder, bring just the homework up to the box. It's funny how something small like that can really change the whole flow of the classroom. Things became much easier when the students were just bringing their homework. So the first thing I like them to do is turn in their homework. And so then they unpack, they put everything away, they go to the restroom if they need to, they sharpen their pencils, and then they sit down and get to work. I always like to have an assignment ready for my students when they walk into the classroom. It can be something simple. In third grade, we work really hard on cursive writing, so often it's a cursive writing page. Or we do Saxon Math, and they have the power-up books, which are great, so a power-up assignment. Maybe sometimes it's a project you started the day before, and they can finish that project, but have something for them to do so that they know exactly what to do after they've turned in their work, after they've put all their supplies away and gotten their desk organized the way it needs to be. They need to know what to do. For you, it may be maybe you want them to read a book. Whatever, but just make sure they know what to do when they walk into your classroom. Okay, Sandra is going to share a tip about teaching your children the routines.
So another great tip for your students' morning routine, and actually any routine that you expect of them to know well, is for you to model it for them and just act it out as if you're a student yourself. So to do this, the best way is to have props. So for my morning routine, the first probably 3 or 4 days of school, I model exactly what I want them to do when they enter the classroom. And so Donna has graciously agreed to show what this would look like. So I actually put the book bag on, just like you see Donna. And then I do teach my students to greet me cheerfully when they enter the room.
Good morning, Mrs. Ward.
Good morning, Donna. And and then they go to their seat where they open their book bag and they take out their homework folder, and then they are to put the appropriate papers in the right trays. Okay, then they bring their homework folder back to their seat, they take out their lunchbox, their water bottle, and they go to their crate. And here they have to kind of switch. They've got to switch the lunchbox with their pencil box. They take that out. They also get their Latin folder. They put their water bottle in the water bottle bin, and then they bring those items back to their seat, and they get out the necessary items that I've already mentioned before, what I require the students to have ready at their desk. And so I do this routine, like I said, at least 3 to 4 times, and then the following week it's also fun to maybe even let a couple of your students demonstrate. So then you can make sure that it is kind of sinking in, so they do understand what you expect.
So just as it is good to model for your students what you want them to do and do that for them, they think that's fun and that helps them remember. I'm sure you, in your school you do this as well, but we teach our students to greet adult visitors that come into the classroom. And so we will practice that on the first few days of school. Someone will pretend to be the headmaster and walk in the door, and everybody will stand up and say, "Good morning, Mr. Taylor." And somebody will pretend to be one of the ladies who works in the office. "Good morning, Mrs. Humphreys." And it's fun for the children to pretend to be an adult and walk in the classroom. By the time they're in third grade, they have practiced this a lot. So we don't have to practice greeting visitors a lot in third grade. We do it some, but you always have new students who come in who need to learn the routine. In my perfect, perfect teacher world, every student arrives early, homework in hand. They have all their needed materials. They are ready to go. They've had a good night's sleep. They're eager to be there and ready to learn. That's my perfect teacher world. But in reality, you will have students who arrive late to school. You will have students who arrive late to school. And so you need to have a plan. What will you do when a child arrives late to school? I'm just going to tell you what I do and what just have a plan. When my students walk in the room and they're late, I just have them put their tardy slip on my desk. And then I do not like them at that point to start unpacking. I find it very distracting if you're trying to do a lesson and you have a child unpacking and turning their work in. So I just teach them to grab their binder, grab their pencil pouch, and sit down and just start doing what we're doing, engage in the lesson. And I usually do Bible first, and so we do Bible, and then I do math. And usually I don't allow them to unpack until we have sort of a break. If there's a transition time, they begin to work on a math assignment, then I will say at that point, go on and unpack your items and get settled. So that's how I handle late arrivals, and I teach them that before it happens so that they know what to do when they are late. Also in your class, you will have tortoises and you will have hares. You will have tortoises who never finish their work in class. They are slow workers. You will have hares who finish an assignment before you have explained the assignment. So you will have both every year in your class. So you just need a plan for those students who are quick workers. And in our class, we have a pretty extensive home reading list. And so really all I allow them to do when they finish early is read. I make sure that they have a book on their desk to read. And there really aren't that many times of the day when somebody is finished early because we move at a pretty fast pace. But they do need to know what to do. I don't like to have students sitting idly in my classroom. I feel like we need to use every minute. And so what I like for them to do is read on one of their readers. So also think about your snack and lunch routines. How are you going to manage those? We live in a very warm climate. We live in Savannah, so we mainly have to think about keeping our kids hydrated and having enough water. And you may live in a very cold climate where you have to think about, okay, how long is it going to take for them to get their snowsuits on and their coats and their hats and their mittens and their gloves and do that. So just think about how long those things take and how you fit those in your schedule. Okay, and now Sandra is going to talk about her packing up routine.
So it is also important to have a plan for the end of the school day and packing up. This is another routine that you can model for your students until they are familiar with what you expect. And in our school, we get a five-minute warning before dismissal, so that gives us a little bit of heads up and time to know that it's time to start putting supplies away, organizing, and all of that. So, I call on the first table who has everything put away. It kind of motivates everybody to try to be first when you do that. Once they've got everything organized, they're sitting quietly, I'll call that table. And again, wait just a few seconds before you call the next. And then for younger students, it's also fun if you have maybe a little packing up or end of the day song for them to sing while they're going through the routine.
In third grade, students begin using assignment notebooks, which they think is really great because they've grown up, they can write down their assignments. So it takes us a little bit longer to pack up. At the beginning of the year, I allow as much as 20 to 25 minutes to teach them how to write down their assignments. The first week of school, I check all of the students to make sure they've written down the assignments and teach them that when I say write everything that I wrote up on the board, that means write everything that I wrote up on the board. So the first week or two, I check that. I go around assignment notebook. So it takes us 20 to 25 minutes. But after a few weeks, you'll be surprised. My kids can do this in less than 10 minutes. They can write down their assignments and pack up. But at first, it will take a while to teach them how you want them to write down their assignments. And then I remind them this goes on the bring back side. They put it inside their homework folder on the bring back side, and it stays there, and they bring it back and forth every day. Inevitably, someone will forget their assignment notebook, and they will be in dismay. I just at that point say, just write your assignments on a piece of paper, and they put that paper in the bring back side, and usually the assignment notebook comes back at some point, but until they find it, they just write their assignments on a piece of paper. So, and then they, in third grade, they pretty much know the drill. As through the day, we have put most of their things that they need for homework, we've already put those in their backpacks. And so it's just a matter of gathering their lunch bags and their water bottles and coats and so forth. So they pack up the rest of their belongings. Also, in third grade, I use a communication sheet. I love this communication sheet. I send it home every day. And it really does help minimize lots of texts and emails that you might get about with small questions. I tell my parents at the beginning of the year that this is my lifeline with them. This is my lifeline. If they have a question, you know, just a simple question, not a detailed, you know, not a conference issue, but just a simple question, or they're going to be absent. My child's going to be absent next week, or my child has a doctor's appointment. Just that can come in, and I check those every morning. And then I also write on these every day for every child. Sometimes it's just a smiley face. Sometimes it's how they learned their times facts today, or sometimes it's they're struggling with division today. Sometimes it's there was a behavior issue today. So I keep all of that and write that on this sheet, and it goes back and forth every day with the parent's signature. But I have found that this is fantastic for communicating daily with your parents. And then I do have them bring these back on a Monday, so I keep a file of these through the year, just so you can kind of look back, because we do forget when you have a lot of students things that have happened through the year, so I keep a file with all of those papers. Oh, and I also, on these, I put notes, like if a child will say, oh, I'm out of graph paper, well, I'll just write that down on here, or my Expo marker is out of ink, and I'll write it down, Johnny needs graph paper, or Johnny needs paper, and that's a great way, and usually the parents can see that, and then that saves me from having to text or remind the child, so I just love the communication sheets myself. Okay, we're going to end with a couple of pictures of cute kids, because we figure if you haven't gleaned anything from us today, you've seen lots of pictures of cute kids. Ha ha. And we do want to give photo credits to our wonderful school photographer, Temple Fennell, who took these pictures for us. And so now I'd like to open up if you have any questions about what we shared today, or maybe you have an organizational idea that you would like to share with us. Yes, ma'am, in the back.
Well, see, we are a 4-hour day, so honestly, if they're dry, like they have a cough or something like that, I'll let them go whenever they want. But normally, first thing in the morning, they can take a little sip before the day gets started, and then at snack time, which is 2 hours later at 10 o'clock, that's when they definitely can, even if they have to drink the whole water bottle. And if they stay for lunch, that's then another 2 hours later at 12 noon, so that would be their next opportunity.
Yes, ma'am. Well, because in second and third, we don't have centers. I know that our kindergarten teachers do, you know, and have to manage that space. So I am so sorry because we don't have those in our grades. Yes, ma'am. Right.
Oh, I like that.
Did y'all hear that? Okay, she said for pencil sharpening, she has a red cup and a green cup, and if a child's pencil lead breaks, they put it in the red cup and then take a pencil out of the green cup. And so, but you just have to make sure you have enough pencils in the green cup. That is a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes. Our what? End of the day song? I don't really have an end of the day.
I don't have one. I know, like, kindergarten, first grade, I know they do have a cute little song they sing. I usually wait until I'm so close to the time period that we need to get downstairs just because of having so much to cover in 4 hours, that usually my process of packing up is very quiet and orderly. They're in line and we head downstairs. But I know the younger grades definitely have cute little songs they sing.
Yes, ma'am. That's a great idea. Did you hear that in the back? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am. That's part of their turning in their homework. I have a slot for communication sheet. They turn that in, and then I look through it first thing in the morning. I just look through all of those, and then when I get a minute, if there's a question, when I get a minute during the day, I will answer that question during snack time, or if you have a full day school, during lunchtime. So I make sure I look at those first thing in the morning. So, yes. Good idea. Left at home, right back at school. Good idea. Yes, ma'am. Yes, we do. We do. If a parent forgets, you know, if it's not signed one day, I usually don't say anything. After a couple of days, I may say, Johnny, did Mom see this? And he's like, I don't know. Or, yes, she saw it but didn't have time to sign. If it goes on over time, I may address that, because if I feel like they're not seeing, that may require a phone call and say, well, especially if you're sending behavior notes or things like that. So, and that depends on the age of the child. But younger children, I would say after a couple of days, them not signing, I might just call and just make sure that they're seeing. What about you?
That's what I was just going to say, the same thing. It's after probably 3 times, I would definitely then talk to a parent and not communicate through the child at that point.
Well, thank you so much for coming. We appreciate it.